Opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Well, is he or isn't he? A tough day at the park became a worse night. We'll navigate it for you next on a late hit version of The Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. It's The Blitz. Patrick Creighton in for Fred Fowler. The Polar Bear. Jason Braddock, Chocolate Gladiator, in for A.J. Hoffman. Aaron Rabel, Voldemort, on the other side of the glass. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the HRMP listener line. You want to get on the program on the text line. On Twitter, at PCreighton1, at Jason Braddock, at Late Hitters, at Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates975, at ESPN975. Are there any that I've missed? And of course, you can also join the show on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. And sports to you, Jason, but sports were not kind to us yesterday.
Sports and stuff.
Bad enough that we had to deal with what we talked about as the Astros' biggest Achilles heel coming to roost on Sunday, and that was the availability and then performance of the pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Were they going to be able to keep guys on the field? Were the guys that the underbelly of the pen and all those young arms, are they going to be able to perform? What would they get out of Devo? What would they get out of Biagini, out of Peacock when he comes back? And yesterday, unfortunately, they did not get a very good performance out of Zach Greinke, who just doesn't look like he's ready.
Mm-hmm.
And look, there's you can't really blame him because it's a very abridged spring training to get ready. He's an older pitcher. He's one of those guys.
He's very particular.
He is. He has a routine, and he's got to follow that routine. And he just didn't look ready to go yet. You know, his fastball, which normally is only around 90 miles an hour, was sitting in the mid-80s. He didn't have that sharp command. He didn't have the accuracy. And he was out of the game one out into the fourth inning.
Right.
And that led the Astros to have to essentially have a bullpen game.
It turned into that. And Devo, when Devo came in, it wasn't number one. I mean, looks like a completely different dude. I mean, you notice that, right? Like, he just looks completely different. But then I'm not even talking about pitching wise, just personal appearance. But as far as pitching, Astros bats bail him out, then pitching there in the eighth inning gives it right back up. So it's frustrating. Even though we're only three games into the season, Astros win that game. They're the only undefeated team left in Major League Baseball, but they do give it back in the eighth inning.
Now, here's what we saw. Look, part of this is Dusty is still trying to figure out, you know, how he's going to allocate arms in the pen. Keep in mind how many guys are not available right now because that list is long.
Urquidy, Verlander.
Well, I'm talking about just in the bullpen.
Oh, okay. You're just talking straight pen. I'm talking arms.
Right. I mean, we're talking about arms to come out of your pen.
Yeah.
Because yesterday he had to have a bullpen game. And he's trying to figure out who can I use and where. And when when Greinke came out of the game, he went to Joe Biagini, and Biagini, well, he gave you exactly what he always gives you, which is lousy pitching.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a good pitcher. He's basically a guy with an arm and a heartbeat, and the arm is so-so. he
at least he's got a good heartbeat.
Yeah. He comes in, of course, you know, can't, you know, has to give up a run because he's just not that good. They got solid effort from Brian Abreu and from Blake Taylor. And
Blake Taylor looked good.
And then Devo came in. Mm. And
do we got to talk about this?
Yeah, we do. Because you know what? Devo was a guy that this team was looking forward to having a bounce back season. For most of the last 2.5 years, he's been a below average reliever.
Right.
And he gave you a little glimpse towards the end of last season that maybe he could go back to being the guy he was in the beginning of 2017 when he was an all-star. And
it was not that long ago. Wow, it doesn't seem like that long ago.
Not there. Not there. And Biagini and Devo, the veterans mm-hmm. who got used yesterday in the bullpen, those were the guys who failed. And it was the young arms, Abreu and Taylor. Those were the guys that held.
Oh, that's a great point. And, I mean, if we're talking about an impressive arm that we saw in this series, let's go to the Mariners side. The guy closing it out, he was just painting that outside corner. What was his name? Willer?
Taylor Williams.
Okay, well, missed completely. All right, Taylor Williams, I mean, that dude was impressive. I realize you're Astro fans, you really don't want to hear this. But, man, when you go up there and you give up the, I believe they started off with the double there in the ninth by Kyle Tucker pinch hitting, right?
Yes.
All right, then you have Springer, who's been ice cold. You know, other outside of the home run, that's the only hit he has, the one home run in game two against the Mariners on Saturday night. Outside of that, he's been cold. You got Altuve, who's batting 200, but at least he's got 4 walks to go with it. And then you've got Bregman, who's really not – I mean, he's getting off to a slow start as well. We're not seeing from Bregman that MVP caliber season that he just came off of is not carrying over yet. Again,
but isn't that par for the course of Bregman? He seems to always get off to a slow start.
I think his – when he first came up to the bigs, what was he, like 1-for-33 or something?
Yeah, so, I mean,
he started slow. So you don't panic with it, but let's also take that with Greinke. Out of the gate, the expectation was that starting pitchers would be behind the hitters. Now, I don't know if that's correlated all across the league, but we've seen big-name pitchers struggle. What did Scherzer give up that first night against the Yankees? Didn't he struggle a little bit?
Four.
And then the game got rained out, right? Okay, so then it got canceled. So we've seen them struggle, and I think we got a little bit spoiled with Verlander that first game, then McCullers that second game. And, yes, Verlander gave up 2 solo shots, but that's become par for the course for Verlander. Verlander's such a dominant pitcher that he's willing to challenge hitters, especially when there's nobody on base, and he's willing to go places a lot of pitchers aren't. He's like, all right, if you get me, you get me, but there's one run, and I've got the bats behind
me.
In
today's baseball, you're always giving up home runs
yes.
because we know – the Bulls got a little something-something.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it Verlander? Last year, Verlander's most home runs given up, but, like, predominantly most of them were solo homers. Starts this year, giving up 2 runs, both of them solo shots. And then McCullers.
They were what?
You know.
Change pants?
Right, exactly. with McCullers, coming off such a long layoff. What was it, 2018, the last time we've seen him pitch? So such a long layoff. The command wasn't there early, but when he found his groove, he found his groove.
And that's something with guys who throw hard, guys who have, especially guys who throw hard and then have like really sharp breaking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We said you got to get to them in the first inning.
Right.
Because once they find their rhythm,
great point.
They got you. So, you know, that's the kind of thing you see with a lot of you know, big-time pitchers who come in. They have electric stuff. Once they find their rhythm,
mm-hmm.
you got to get them before then. Otherwise, you're in for a long day. And I wouldn't be panicking over Zach Greinke. Look, he didn't have a good start. He didn't have good stuff. He didn't have command. To him, this is still spring training. And I would expect that by the time we get to this point, let's say 2 weeks from today, we'll see a lot more of what we would expect from Zach Greinke.
Before we get out this first segment, I'm sure a lot of the listeners and Astros fans want to hear this from you on a scale of 1 to 10. Now, the Verlander injury by itself would be horrible by itself, but you think about this Astros rotation and the domino effect it sets. Now you have your number one, Verlander. up in the air for at least several weeks. I mean, at best, you're talking about a month he's out with. Even if it's the best case scenario, in 2 weeks he's feeling great and wants to come back and pitch, you're going to have to ramp him back up. So at least he's out for a month. That's your number one. Your number two comes out, and even though he started on day three because the rotation was off, Greinke struggles. McCullers looks good, but he's had a long-standing issue with staying healthy and staying on the field. Or Katie still isn't back from the IL. I mean, he's coming back, but he's not worked himself back to the active roster yet. And then you get to Josh James. The question's still out on. Forrest Whitley, question's still out on. Christian Javier. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, I know you said you're not panicking on Greinke himself, but the whole landscape and the domino effect of the Verlander injury, where are you at as far as where Astro fans should be 1 to 10 panic level?
Well, look, anytime you're talking about losing your horse out of your rotation, there's not really a whole lot of good ways to spin that. Mm-hmm. What I would tell you is if you're going to lose your horse for a season, this is the season to lose him. Because essentially, if this were to be a normal season and you lost Verlander the first week of the season, you've got to fill 220-plus innings, 32
right.
starts.
Great point.
And, you know, then have you even made it to the postseason? In this season, you've got to fill 11 starts, so 65 innings.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to fill 11 than 32. And I also think it will make the Astros, depending on how well they play in the meantime, and a lot of that's going to be predicated on these unproven young arms who are going to be asked to step into major duty. The Astros, we talked to Richard Justice last week, mm-hmm. and he said he expects them to be very aggressive in the trade market. We don't know what the trade market's going to look like yet because it's a 60-game season. The trade market's going to start, the trade deadline's going to be August 31st, so you're talking about, 35 games into a 60-game season
right.
where there's going to be 16 playoff teams.
There's going to be very few teams that eject.
Who's going to sell? And then if there's only a handful of teams selling, are you willing to pay the big price that it might cost to make those acquisitions?
And that's the response I want from you next. I had this brief conversation on social media yesterday about how Forrest Whitley now his ears perk up a little bit more because I think he's back on that trading block. Some Astros fans said, I'd rather see Whitley for another year before selling, especially in this shortened season. I have a different take on that. I'm curious your thoughts on that. This is Late Hit sitting in for the Blitz, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. That gets you in on the text line, the phone line. He's at PCrate1. I'm at Jason Braddock. He's at Aaron is Blitz. This is at Late Hitters on Twitter as well and on the Twitch stream. If you want to talk to us during the break and during the show, you can go to twitch.tv/ESPN975.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. That's great. Jason Braddock in for Fred and AJ. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the Atron P listener line, on the text line, on Twitter at PCrayton1, at Jason Braddock, at Aaron is Blitz. On Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. The Twitch is live all the time. So if you guys are following the show on Twitch and you put something in there and we don't get to it during the show, we'll probably get to it during a break because the breaks are live. So as long as you're watching the show on Twitch, you don't lose us during the break.
Right.
So it's almost like we're your captive audience.
Nice, for 3 hours. And we are sitting in for the Blitz today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. We'll be back Thursday and Friday on our typical time spot, 7 to 9 p.m. And AJ and Fred returns back here on the Blitz Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, Chuck tweets in. He says, man, Fred and AJ sound different today.
We tried to do our Fred and AJ impressions. We did that mostly on Friday, though.
You know, they look different, too.
Yeah, definitely so. There was a tweet that came in that was actually pretty funny. I forget who it was from, but it's actually pretty funny. James Harden finally got the title. He said, quit burying the lead. Talk about James Harden finally getting his title as part owner of the Dynamo. I mean, the Dash, excuse me.
The Dash. Part owner of the Dash,
he gets his title. So I guess, does that count?
Well,
if Jordan wins a title, well, that's never going to happen with the Hornets. Never mind.
Look at it this way. The Dash, 1 year after they trade J.J. Watt to Chicago, they play Chicago for the title.
Nice.
And they win.
So are you saying this is foreshadowing? Like, if this was a movie, this is foreshadowing of the other Houston star getting traded? Is he going to get traded to the Bears?
I was going
to
say, if J.J. gets traded, does that mean the Texans actually win? Only if we could trade Bill O'Brien with him.
Man, Deshaun sounds like he wouldn't be opposed to that, right?
Depends. Is he getting the money?
If Bill O'Brien's gone, yeah, I think Deshaun gets the money. I don't know if Deshaun Watson and his agent are signing the contract if Bill O'Brien's here.
We're going to take the money that you were going to give JJ, and we're going to make that half the money
that
you're going to give to Deshaun. Well, not quite. It's going to be like 35% of the money that you're going to give Deshaun.
Hey, JJ, we appreciate everything you did at the beginning of the last decade. Appreciate all of those in the middle. Appreciate all those defensive player of the years. But on the way out the door, can you drop off that $15.5 million this year and $17.5 million next year to Deshaun? Just leave it in his locker. We're good. We don't want you to get him sick or anything.
Can you, you know, shoot it to him on Venmo?
Nice. It's quick. I mean, it's funny, though, how quickly your allegiance changed towards athletes. You know, I mean, you look at DeAndre Hopkins. This city loved DeAndre Hopkins. And immediately upon getting traded, you got about 99% backlash from Texans fan. Then about a week goes by, you got 75% backlash. And then about the time 2 weeks go by, you got 50% backlash because you have those fans that have what's it called when you get kidnapped and fall under the kidnap, you start siding with the kidnapper.
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, you always have that 50% of Texans fans that have Texan syndrome.
Is that what we're gonna call it?
That's Texans what we'll call it. Texans syndrome. Home syndrome.
So in the aftermath of everything that happened between the game and then the announcement afterwards, and look, you saw the Chronicle came out with the story before the game was over.
Right.
That Justin Verlander had an elbow injury.
What are you saying there? How many sources?
And he was going to miss the rest of the season. Justin Verlander, after the game, said, no, I'm not. You lying. And then he said, it's not an elbow injury. It's a forearm strain.
Well, Dusty Baker said that immediately after the game before Verlander tweeted that it was a stiff forearm. But as a lot of people have correlated that, you know, those elbow injuries could start with those stiff forearms. And then you find out there's more damage done. So it's not to say I've seen people already taking shots and bagging on Chandler Rome because people want to see you fail. You remember what UGK said back on the old I think it was.
I'm going to say no, because I don't know what you...
Oh, don't say whatever that. Don't say that in Houston. Is. Don't say you don't know who UGK
but,
is in
but
Houston.
But the point being...
Well, they said it's the people from your own cities be the worst one, talking about people hating on you. Like, you'll get more loyal followers, and you probably realize this on social media, from all over. But people in your own city, they don't want to see you do good. And so you'll just see them hate on you and everything.
Now, this gives you flashbacks to 2018.
Okay.
Because, as you know, we said then, when you hear forearm strain, that's baseball code for UCL.
Or it's also teenager code for I'm hitting puberty.
Perhaps. But, you know, the UCL, your ulnar collateral ligament that rolls through your elbow and stabilizes it, connects to the front of your forearm.
And then your forearm bone connects to your...
No, Jason. Right. We're not going there.
I thought that's
we're trying
we're
to actually explain things to
I
people.
Thought we were explaining in a way that everybody understood.
This is not sex ed class. Okay. This is explaining how Justin Verlander's elbow works.
I thought is not what it's connected to.
No.
Okay.
Much as when
I would much rather have Kate Upton tell me about how body parts work.
I'd rather her show me.
Okay, fair enough. Well, a couple years ago on the cloud. All right, go ahead.
All right, anyway. So the point being, McCullers was diagnosed with a forearm strain back in August of 2018, and he was going to miss time. And look, I knew then, a lot of other people who are, you know, into baseball knew then, he was going to need Tommy John surgery.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to just let the swelling and the irritation calm down for a while, strengthen up the other muscles around it, and then came back late in the season. If it's partially torn and you can handle the pain,
mm-hmm.
there's no difference in your surgery or your recuperation from partially torn to fully torn. It's the same surgery.
All right, I'm just trying to fully understand. You make it sound more like a football running back, like Arian Foster with turf toe. Am I oversimplifying it, or could you
Extremely.
See the... Really? No, I'm talking about if you're saying no, what I'm saying is that turf toe is excruciating to play with. But if it's a playoff game, you're going to see that running back out there typically even playing through the pain. Now, you're saying that, and that's the only correlation I'm making.
No, well, from the point of
so he couldn't
if you
pitch
can
to
play
it.
Through the pain.
And that's where yes. I'm going.
But for basically what it was, can I pitch through the pain, not have the swelling, not have the irritation,
mm-hmm.
and be able to command my pitches? McCullers came back, did the best he could, had Tommy John surgery following the season in November. For Verlander, it seems like that might be exactly the path he's trying to do. Now, when he pitched Friday night, he was throwing BBs. He was snapping curves.
Right.
He looked sharp. Certainly nothing gave you the indication.
And all the talk during the broadcast was how he's the healthiest been in a while, and now he's, you know, Brett Strom was talking about how he's rebuilt and changed some of his mechanics so he could do what he's always wanted to do, and that's pitch 8 more years until he's 45 in his mid-40s.
So something happened between Saturday morning and yesterday afternoon regarding his elbow or forearm.
Carlos and Daniela could tell you what happened.
That he must have had a lot of swelling and a lot of pain, and what they checked out, and they don't like what they saw, and they're going to shut him down for a while. He's probably hoping, let me get my elbow to calm down. Let's strengthen up the other muscles. Let's see if I can get back in, miss a couple of weeks, come back in. Can I pitch through it? Because 80% of Verlander is still better than 110% of the average pitcher.
Fair enough.
So can he get through it? Because one way or another, if he needs Tommy John surgery, he's going to miss next season no matter what. Whether he has it now or he has it in November, he's still missing next season. So your plan for this season is different than the plan that you're going to have in the offseason to attack next year. Totally different.
Let me ask you something, and I want you to respond to this in the next break, and we'll also catch up with DeForest Whitley as well. Dusty Baker, there's a narrative on him that you despise, this narrative. And now with the injury to Verlander and Verlander possibly wanting to play through it if able, Baker had some interesting comments on Verlander being Superman and what he could take on. I want to pair that with this narrative that people have on Dusty Baker with veteran pitchers and see if you agree or disagree. And we'll also get the payoff on your take on Forrest Whitley, possibly on the trading block.
Next.
I got Lori Harvey on my wish list. That's the only thing I want for Christmas.
ESPN. 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patrick Crate and Jason Braddock in for Fred and AJ on the Blitz. And, Jay, you were asking a question specific to Dusty Baker.
Mm-hmm. As far as, and just for any listeners that may be joining us now, late hits in for the Blitz. And the question I proposed to you in the last segment, one before that, let you run a doubleheader here. Justin Verlander, obviously, you saw the tweet yesterday after the Houston Chronicle report that he was out for the season. He came out, denied it, said that he'll basically reassess in 2 weeks that he has some stiffness of the forearm. If Verlander's willing to play through it, there was this narrative when Dusty Baker became the Astros' new head coach that you disagreed with and you didn't like. Well, I want to parlay this into those comments. And that narrative was that Dusty Baker runs old vet pitchers into the dirt, says he rides them to the wheels falls off, if you will. Verlander, his comments on here, again, paraphrasing, is basically Superman. So if Verlander comes up in 2 weeks, it's like, hey, I'm ready to start the rehab program, get back on the mound September 1st, I'm back in the, you know, back in the rotation. If he says that, do you think that narrative comes into play that Baker's like, yeah, get out there because he wants to win that title because he might only be here for 2020 as that head coach?
All right. The idea that Dusty Baker destroys pitchers literally comes directly from his time in Chicago.
Okay.
With Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor.
Gotcha.
Those are the two pitchers everybody points to when they say, oh, Dusty destroys pitchers. Look, he ruined Kerry Wood's career. He ruined Mark Pryor's career. And that is true if you are an idiot.
Okay.
All right. The real reason why Mark Pryor was always injured had to do with his arm action, not the number of innings he pitched or how he was used. Pryor had what was called an inverted W arm action, the way he would cock his elbow back above his shoulder with his forearm pointing down. So you're literally like, it's not a normal, I mean, it's not even comfortable to just do it.
So the torque of it?
And it would put a lot of stress on his shoulder and his elbow because by the time he strode through, he then is bringing his arm over. So you're actually cocking your arm too late and there's extra stress on your arm as you follow through. You're throwing with too much arm.
Okay.
And that ultimately is what ruined Pryor's shoulder. Kerry Wood blew his UCL in 1999, which was 4 years before Dusty became manager of the Cubs.
Okay.
Now, over the next couple of years, so he missed the 99 season. Came back in 2000 through 137 innings. So, you know, in line, 2001 through 174 innings. Again, in line with how you would ramp up your pitcher following Tommy John surgery. 2002, Kerry Wood threw a career-high 213 and two-thirds innings. Didn't really show any mal effects from surgery. He made 33 starts. All right, in 2003, Dusty's first year in Chicago, Kerry Wood threw 211 innings. He made 32 starts. He didn't use him any differently than he had previously been used the last 2 years. Wood had the best season of his career that year, struck out 266 batters in 211 innings, had the fewest hits per nine innings in the game, had the highest strikeouts per nine innings. He was an all-star for the first of two times in his career. The following year, he got injured again. It wasn't because he was being used in a different manner. It's because not everybody's arm holds up. You know, the guy who's considered to be the greatest pitcher in the history of baseball, most dominant, Sandy Koufax, pitched 10 years, and he couldn't straighten his arm. Now, they didn't have the medicine and the science and the surgeries, the things they could have done to fix his arm the way that they could now. But not everybody's arm can hold up to throwing 200 innings every year. That's what makes a guy like Verlander, you know,
the Nolan Ryan-esque.
Because they're like Roger Clemens. These guys went out, they throw 200-plus innings every single year. They rarely get hurt, and they're just freaks of nature.
Right.
You know, so when you get to that kind of thing, and Verlander's missed, what, basically 2 years in his entire career due to injury for a guy who throws 220 innings every year.
It's impressive.
That's unbelievable.
Now, before we get to I guess it's Levi or Levy, wants to talk to the Astros on the phone lines. Before we go out to the phone line, so put a bow on this, and we'll get to the Forrest Whitley question I asked a little bit later in the show. But put a bow on this. So Justin Verlander, if he comes back and play this year, if he comes back and play this year, eligible, you have no fear with Dusty Baker because you don't buy into any of that old narrative.
No, and also Justin Verlander knows his body.
Great point.
And Justin Verlander is going to tell you, I'm good or I'm not. Mm. Like, no manager is telling Justin Verlander what to do. Justin Verlander is going to the Hall of Fame. He's writing his own ticket. If he says I can go, well, then you're going to let him go.
If he writes his own ticket, I think it's invalid, though. I think that's in the bylaws.
Nah, not for him.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you know, if he had been named in the Mitchell Report.
Okay.
Levi, you're on late. You're on late hits. You're on the Blitz, Levi. What's up?
Hey, sports guys. Man, I'm just super glad baseball season's back, y'all, even if it's a shortened season. But I just want to remind all the Astros fans out there that Mike Fiers is still a punk. So nice. I'll hang up and listen to you guys' thoughts. Have a good one.
Hey, we appreciate
the call.
It.
By the way, the proper phrase is Mike Fiers is a bitch, not a punk.
You we're not on in our usual time slot. So maybe you're thinking pre-7 o'clock, he would like to go the politically correct way.
Nah, you can drop the female
dog. Okay, drop it on them.
Believe me, they say worse.
All right, so... Yeah, and that still holds. You can still end your calls like that. We'll hold that for a while. Now, the Whitley side of it that I wanted to ask you, again, if you missed anything earlier in the show today, what we were discussing or the question I propose to Pete Creighton, baseball enthusiast, baseball, what's the word I'm looking for?
Nerd.
Yeah, baseball nerd. That's fair. All right, so... nobody else in the city I respect more when it comes to baseball knowledge than my co-host Pete Creighton. So I like to throw these questions. I like to throw these questions at you because I'm curious. Now, yesterday on social media, I was asking when the Verlander news broke on the injury that Forrest Whitley, I felt his ears are perking up because he knows he's being talked about. He's going to be back on the trade block. My feelings on it. Now, some Astros fans, they felt that, hey, this season, 60-game season, shortened season, it's not worth it. I wholeheartedly disagree. I feel if you can go get a veteran arm, this is how the Astros won the World Series in the first place. You've got these stacked bats, but you went and go get the arms. You're willing to trade to go get Verlander. You're willing to go get Cole. You're willing to go get Charlie Morton. You're willing to go get Greinke. I mean, so this has been the formula, and that's why they've won 100-plus games 3 years in a row. So I'm all for it, but I'm curious, do you trade Forrest Whitley this year, or do you hold him?
Honestly, I'm holding him.
Okay.
And this is why. Because I don't expect there to be a great trade market. You think about the trades that they made. They traded in season for Justin Verlander.
Right.
They traded in season for
And that's
Zach
back
Greinke.
When they had the veteran trade deadline as opposed
well,
to...
for Verlander, yes, you still had the waiver trade
that's
deadline.
That's what it was called, right.
That would allow you to make a deal all the way to August 31st. They made on August 31st about 11:59 and 55 seconds.
Exactly.
For the Greinke deal last year, they had to get that done right before the July 31st deadline. Because you've got more playoff teams, short season, you are down Verlander probably for the rest of this month at least. It's probably not cost effective to look at a deal that would involve Forrest Whitley because I don't believe, unless something really drastic happens, I don't believe you're going to be able to get the impact arm like a Verlander or Greinke at the deadline. If I can't get a guy who is a major impact starting pitcher, then Whitley stays. The reason Whitley's on the 60-man roster is not because they expect him to pitch on the major league team. It's because they didn't want him to lose a year of development after a disastrous season a year ago where he completely melted down in AAA. Now, he's still a young guy, and he still has four above average, two elite pitches. There are going to be a lot of teams that look at Forrest Whitley as a guy, hey, we'll give him 1 year, we'll get him right, and he'll be an ace for us for a decade.
Let me ask you.
You are going to have a better market to acquire an ace starter in the offseason than you are at the deadline of an abbreviated season. And if I'm trading Forrest Whitley, and listen, I'm on record, I would trade him. But I'm still not trading him for 30 cents on the dollar. I want to maximize every ounce of value I can get out of him. And that means not pitching him at the major league level where I know he will struggle. Not devaluing him. Letting him develop. Go to the offseason. You just leak out the reports about how good he looks and how good he's doing. Let him go pitch in Arizona Fall League, if there is an Arizona Fall League this year. But just leak out how good he looks. Leak out how great he's doing. And then when the offseason comes, you've rebuilt his value, and you can then use him as the centerpiece to go get a legitimate front-of-the-rotation starter, because you're going to need one for 2021.
All right, so we know the phrase, "and more we trust." When Jeff Luhnow was here and all the prospects he was at, man, I believe Luhnow had a special eye for talent that very few do. Now, you can hate him for the scandal and everything else. I don't know people's opinion on him here in Houston. But as far as that phrase, "and more we trust," it was adapted to "in Luhnow we trust." And especially when I would comment on the Astros window, because in most sports, I'm like, when you have the window open, you have to cash then. With Luhnow, I felt the window stayed open because of his unique eye for talent. Luhnow's gone. The window is open for the Astros to win a title this year. Damn the Yankees, damn the Dodgers, and damn the Verlander injury. If there's a possibility he still comes back, and even if there isn't, they have the power in the lineup that I try to patchwork a lineup. And if I can get a trade, even if it means packaging Whitley and Tucker together to go get a front-end starter, I do it because the window's open. You can win a title today. Damn the Astros talk. It would be another World Series title, and that's all that's going to matter 10, 20, 30 years from now.
That means you're going all in for this season
and next.
Screwing yourself for next.
It's screwed? Completely screwed for next.
Well, so who's your right fielder next year?
You can't fix that issue by next year. With the contracts coming up, the money Reddick's off the books,
where you have,
you're paying Springer.
Here is what you have to account for.
Well, tell us on the other side.
Okay, next. How come you never left my side?
This is The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Patrick and Jason in for Fred and AJ on the Blitz, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the Atron Peel listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, at Pete Creighton 1, at Jason Braddock, at Late Hitters, at Aaron is Blitz.
When
you talk about how you're going to deal a top prospect,
sure,
you're only dealing that top prospect for a one, not for a two, not for a three, not for a four. You're dealing him for a one. The opportunity to get a one this season, short season, 16 playoff teams, is going to be remote at best, because most teams that have a legit one are probably competing for a playoff
run. Yeah, I mean, you're saying this stuff. Yeah, that we can skip all past. Everybody understands that the guy has to be available to trade for.
For next season.
But here's my thing.
Would I trade Forrest Whitley to go get a number one if I can get that guy? Hell yeah, of course I'm doing it. But I think that market is going to be much greater in the off season than at midseason. Who the Astros are right now, you've got a real high probability this is who they're going to be. Most people don't expect much of a trade market to manifest, because the teams who are going to be at the bottom out of it, well, they've kind of already dealt off all their high-priced, usable people.
Let me throw something at you. You're a Mets fan. What do you think your Mets will be this year? Not in depth. Just give me something off the top.
They'll be in the playoff mix.
All right. So
probably
you think
be, that, I don't know, 4 or 5 games over 500.
Okay. Is there a pitcher out there, a front of the line starter, one or two, either one, that you would, you feel that team is probably 30% or less of making the playoffs, that you would be willing to trade Whitley? Because, mind you, all offseason, your take on Whitley is that, hey, I mean, he hasn't shown you nothing. He struggled so much. Will he ever get the command? All he's doing is limited his value. And Luno, your big knock on Luno was that he would never trade Whitley like he was untouchable. But now you've got a new regime in there, and they could possibly trade Whitley and possibly need to trade Whitley if Verlander's out for the rest of the year. And you're saying, hold tight on it. So you completely flip course.
No, it's about the value.
I get
of the
value.
And it's not a flip-flop if you understand the value.
All right, so what are you trading? Is there a pitcher available?
I don't think there's a pitcher available that's worth building a package involving Whitley. Now, does that mean that something changes? Look, 33 days from now, things could change. Right now, all you can do is monitor the market and see if anything comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, at the end of this season, all right, there is a possibility that your starting pitching free agents are Trevor Bauer,
mm-hmm.
Robbie Ray,
sure.
James Paxton, Marcus Stroman, Jose Quintana, Jake Arrieta's got a club option, Corey Kluber's got a club option.
And he just went down injured again.
And that's the biggest issue with Kluber is
yeah.
trying to keep him on the field right now. But to give up Forrest Whitley to get Robbie Ray, and he's a free agent at the end of the year, that's a no. That's a huge no. Because I don't have to give anything other than money to get him later.
If you're playing for the future. I get that. Getting a lot of great questions coming in on Twitch. If you want to head over to twitch.tv/ESPN975, you can interact with us during the show and also during the break as well. We're answering a lot of questions during this last break. Derek's got a good question, and then we got another one from Cherry on here. Derek says, I think most teams will have to deal with these type of pitcher injuries. Just stand pat and lean on the offense. Interesting thought process. Hadn't thought about this as far as not only pitcher injuries, which we're seeing quite a few of around the team, around the league, excuse me, but also the COVID and players getting that. We know the report about the Marlins and the Yankees and Phillies not playing tonight. So how much validity do you give this?
There's a lot of validity in that because of this season. I mean, keep in mind, they lost Gerrit Cole. They didn't replace him. All right, they lost Will Harris, didn't replace him. Joe Smith opted out. Brad Peacock's injured. Urquidy's got COVID. Pruitt's down. You've got a lot of holes of all these guys who were a big part of your team, but won 107 games last year,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't replace any of them.
Sure.
Well, now you're asking for young guys who are unproven. Josh James is a starter. You're asking Framber Valdez to be a regular part of the team. You're looking to Cy Snead and Blake Taylor and Brian Abreu. Brian Abreu's never thrown 100 innings at any level ever.
Right. Christian Javier.
You're asking these guys, and only Paredes, you're asking these guys to play major roles on your team this year because that's who's next. You know, kind of like in football when guys go down, that next man up mentality. For the Astros, that's what it is right now. It's next man up. And all these next guys up are your special teamers who have not given you anything in an actual gameplay, and now you're counting on them to do that. So what they can do over the next 2 to 3 weeks before they start getting some reinforcements, because you know, they still need Brad Peacock to come back and Austin Pruitt to come back and Jose Urquidy in a couple of weeks and now Justin Verlander, hopefully, in a couple of weeks. What are they in the meantime? We knew that they could mash. We know they can mash. They are unquestionably one of the top three offenses in baseball. They're going to rake every night. But you can't keep giving the leads back every time you go get them.
Another question here. What percentage out of 100 do you guys give this season of even finishing? I'm pretty low on this.
Well, you know,
I was pretty low on it even starting.
This is about to become season on the brink.
Mm.
The Marlins have 14 people who tested positive, including at least 11 players.
Mm-hmm.
They just played in Philadelphia, so they spent the last 3 days in the visitors' clubhouse at CBP. And
so that gives way to Yankees, Phillies.
Well, the Phillies have been exposed because they were on the field with them.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees can't go because that clubhouse is clearly exposed. The Marlins game with the Orioles is now off because the Marlins are trying to figure out how bad is this breakout, and they can't expose the Orioles. So we've got a couple of games that we'll say postponed for now, but possibility is canceled. It's going to depend on, you know, when we get to the end of the season, do they need to make up these games or not? But we are season on the brink. Right now, it's only the Marlins, but they got at least 11 players. Well, what happens if in the next 48 hours the Phillies have 10 players? And then it becomes two teams. And then it becomes three teams. As I said, you know, when you made the decision, you were going to start the season. And the reason you had 60-man rosters was so that if, you know, guys got COVID or guys got hurt, you can move them on like a taxi squad. You don't have a minors, we're just going to move them on and off. They're going to have to make these allocations that guys who get COVID can just move right on and be replaced. The Marlins are going to have to field a lot of minor leaguers, and it's not going to help them in the standings in any way, shape, or form. But this was what the risk was.
Sure.
And baseball had to know this. And the plan had to be, this is why there's 60 guys. If you then move 11 guys off your team and bring 11 guys up, and then you test another 11 guys positive, well, you're really digging into that taxi squad. And what they do at that point could be what breaks the league. You know, a lot of the negotiation, we talked about how, you know, the owner said, oh, there's not going to be any fans, there's not going to be any fans. And they're talking about, oh, well, you know, we're trying to get fans. Like, maybe these frauds. One of the things they were concerned about was, are they going to get to the playoffs? Is there going to be a playoffs? Could they play? And that fear was based on the idea of a second wave coming, you know, later on in the year. Well, we're still in the first wave, and it might be punching baseball in the mouth. We're seeing the NBA bubble, if you don't pull Lou Williams, is working. We're seeing the NHL bubble is working. They had zero positives.
MLS.
Once they got past, you know, two teams coming in, they had to bow out because of the COVID. MLS has gotten it under control.
Here's the thing. As far as you answering that question on what percent out of 100 you guys give the season of even finish it, what was your number?
Right now, I'm saying 84%.
Wow. I'll go 60. But you had something interesting on Tyler Kepner of the New York Times on Major League Baseball's plans. And I think in that you had him like no plan to cancel or suspend the season. As of now, what you would expect, we knew there'd be positive results. But there is one thing in this, in Major League Baseball, and it's not being covered a lot, that was the reason behind why I said, you know, people said, if I'm James Harden, Russ Westbrook, I go and get the COVID, get healthy, and then go to the bubble healthy. And you don't have to worry about it to knock you off. Well, this is what we were concerned about. 27-year-old Eduardo Rodriguez confirmed that he's been dealing with a heart issue from COVID. And we kind of heard little mumbles that there could be long existing problems. This Eduardo Rodriguez, following his story, is going to be pivotal because how severe the heart symptoms are and how long they last could really alter not just baseball but all sports, especially on a day where we've seen numerous NFL players opt out of the 2020 season.
We'll get more of that. Some of your text messages. Is a really good question here on the text. We'll get to it next.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.